The Old Testament reading comes from 1 Samuel, the first chapter. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until he was weaned. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from Hebrews, second chapter. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and a faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I chose a different text to preach on because I just preached on the gospel lesson 3 weeks ago. So I don't know what sin it's doing having it come up again in the reading, but I chose for today from Luke chapter 16, beginning at the 19th verse. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. A beggar by the name of Lazarus was laid at his gate. He was covered with sores and longed to satisfy his hunger with anything that might fall from the rich man's table. And the dogs would even come and lick his sores. One day the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Being tormented in hell, he looked up, and though far away, he saw Abraham and Lazarus at his side. 'Father Abraham,' he called, 'have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm suffering in this fire.' But Abraham said, 'Remember, son, you had your good things in your life, while Lazarus had his misery. Now he is comforted here while you are suffering. And beside all these things, there's a wide chasm fixed between us and you, so that those who might want to cross from here over to you cannot do it, nor can anyone from there come over to us.' 'Then I ask you, father,' he said, 'send him to my father's home. I have five brothers, to warn them not to get into this place of torture.' 'They have Moses and the prophets,' Abraham said. 'They should listen to them.' 'No, father,' Abraham, he said, 'but if someone comes to them from the dead, they'll repent.' 'If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets,' he answered him, 'they won't be convinced even if someone rose from the dead.'" On November 25th, 1835, little Andrew Carney was born to a poor family in Scotland. He grew up in extreme poverty. Some nights he would go to bed early and sleep, because then that way he wouldn't feel the hunger pains. At age 13, the family decided that America was the place to go. America was the place of opportunity. So at age 13, he got a job as a bobbin boy in a Pittsburgh cotton factory, where he would change spools of thread 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Remember, he's 13. He later became a telegraph messenger boy and later was promoted to the operator. He then moved to railroad jobs, where he learned about the industry and he learned about business in general. Now, during this time, he made investments from his meager pay in steel and oil companies that netted him huge returns. Some 65 years later, his Carnegie Steel Corporation became the largest steel company in the entire world. Not too bad for a little boy, a little poor boy from Scotland. Who doesn't love a good rags-to-riches story? It's great to see rags-to-riches story. It's good to see that hard work does pay off. As I said, we enjoy rags-to-riches stories like Andrew Carnegie, or perhaps Oprah Winfrey, Steve Jobs, and of course the cartoon character Cinderella. Equally interesting and instructive is the idea or the pattern of riches to rags. In Luke, we see both stories in the same parable. It serves to warn and to instruct. Jesus begins this parable by an introduction to very two different men. The rich man, in Latin, it was Dives. In some Bibles, you'll see the parable Dives and Lazarus. That was the name given to him. The Bible does not name him. But we know he wore purple clothes. Now, something I didn't know about making purple clothes at this time, They had to take the blood of a particular snail to make purple. And it would take thousands of these snails to make a purple garment. So they were very expensive to make. He also wore fine linen and had a great feast every day. Jesus paints him as a picture of excess, luxury, and self-indulgence. Outside, we find the second character, Lazarus. By the way, in the parables, he's the only named character there is. The name Lazarus means one whom God helps. Lazarus is the opposite of the rich man. He's not dressed in fine purple or linen clothes. His body is covered with sores. To make him to be even more pitiful than that, the dogs come and lick his sores. That's the only aid he got. By the way, in the ancient world, dogs were lonesome and disgusting creatures. I understand that's where the expression "kick the dog" came from. Because that's how people felt about dogs. And that's the only thing that gave Lazarus any comfort. He just wishes he could have had the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Two totally different men. Lazarus dies and is carried by the angels to the side of Abraham. He's given a place of honor at the great heavenly banquet. There is the rags to riches story. Now we've got the rich man. Jesus' listeners, when he told this parable the first time, must have wondered if Lazarus, a poor sick man, got such a place of honor, where will the rich man, or what will the rich man get? What place of honor will he hold? Then, surprise, to quote Gomer Pyle from the Andy Griffith Show, surprise, surprise, surprise. He's in hell and in a great torment. He lifts up his eyes and he sees Abraham and Lazarus. And in this parable, they're close enough to talk. He says, "Father Abraham, have Lazarus dip his finger in water just to cool my tongue." In a race, like a 20-kilometer race or so, at the halfway mark is the water stand. Some of the runners sip the water, guzzle the water, keep running as they grab a cup of water. Some will even pour it on their heads and fill their bottles. But none dip their finger in the water just to wet their tongue, because it's not helpful at all. It won't quench any thirst. But that's all the rich man wanted. He was in such anguish, he would take just one drop. Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." In other words, he's saying, "You're stuck here, child." The riches to rag story. But why did they get their eternal destinations the way they did? Why the great reversal in what we would expect? Is Lazarus being rewarded because he's poor? Is the rich man being punished because he is rich? No, Lazarus was saved because of faith. The rich man was not condemned for being wealthy, although his wealth got in his way of grace and showing mercy to Lazarus, who lay at his gate, blinded to the words of Moses and the prophets who pointed to Christ. The rich man says, "Abraham, I have five brothers, and I want them to avoid my fate. Send Lazarus back to them." He argues that if somebody returned from the dead and went to his brothers, they would believe. Abraham responds, "If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should be raised from the dead." When we look at this parable, we focus on Lazarus and the rich man. But the group that doesn't get the amount of focus that they should, and a very important group, is the five brothers. They did not believe in the coming of the Messiah. They did not believe in Jesus the Christ. They're an important group in this story because their eternal destination is not, quote, fixed yet. They still have an opportunity to repent. They have Moses and the prophets who point to the Messiah. That's the point of the parable for us. God's word is enough for faith and repentance. Jesus stresses this in two parables back to back. In Christ, by the way, we see the greatest rags to riches story and the rich and rags to riches story. Try saying that 10 times fast. Paul writes, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. On the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins. He paid the price so that we could be his own. He gave everything to us and won it all for us. His resurrection is a guarantee that we too will rise from the dead. If we ever question whether we will go to heaven, we hold on to the fact that Christ died for our sins and was raised again, and that's the guarantee for our salvation. The brothers, who are sometimes ignored in this parable, would not even repent if Lazarus came back. It's interesting. Jesus came back from the dead, and not everyone believed in him. Still to this day, there are people who do not believe in him as their Lord and Savior. The brothers had Moses and the prophets, but we have more. We have the New Testament as well. We have that powerful word, which is made tangible for us in the present, today, and right here. In the absolution, the pronouncement of our sins are forgiven. In the Lord's Supper, the word is made visible that touches our lips and our hearts. He gives himself to rescue us from our own sin and our own self-centeredness. By this word, he works in us and makes us his children. As his children, he knows our name. I'm always comforted by the fact that he knows how many hairs I have on the top of my head and my beard. He knows that. He cares that much that he even knows a trivial fact like that. But it shows our importance and our value in his sight. Our needs, wants, and cares do not escape his sight. He is our Father. He will help in the way that is best, what he sees is best for us. We are a Lazarus to him, one whom he helps. And we have a place with him in eternity. In Jesus Christ, you are a rags-to-riches story. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.